Listening to By Yahweh's Design with your host, Pastor Dan.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to this one-hour live radio broadcast coming to you via RealityRadioNetwork.com. We dedicate this program to Yahweh, our Heavenly Father, the Great I Am. We also dedicate it to His holy remnant, the believing sons and daughters of Jacob Israel, also known as the Caucasian or Covenant peoples of the world. Hallelujah, which is praise Yahweh in ancient or Paleo Hebrew. Tonight is the 7th of June, year 2004, and we've entitled tonight's broadcast, America's Christian Beginnings. The reason I did that is there's an article I'm going to be sharing with you, and written by Inez Comparé, the wife of Bertrand Comparé. Excellent little article. I couldn't improve on it myself, so instead of reinventing the wheel, we're going to discuss that article here in just a second. In the meantime, this is solo, no guest, so the call-in number will be open during the hour, 260-356-2611. And again, the call-in number is 260-356-2611. 2611. If you find the line is busy, please try again. Or if you have access to email, you can email a question to steve@stevemelching.com. Again, that's steve@stevemelching.com. Also, a little note just to let you know that Carl Klang music is available in case anybody had questions about that. You can order through his P.O. Box, and that address is Carl Klang Music Ministries. And again, that is Carl Klang, K-L-A-N-G, Music Ministries, Post Office Box 2301, Boulder, Colorado, 80306. And let's see, what do we got here? Oh, his latest CD, which is Selah, has 19 songs on it. We have a copy of it here. Excellent CD, by the way, of worship music using our Father's name. And it's $25, and that includes the postage. So that's like getting two CDs on one, 19 songs for $25. Send a blank money order to that address, Post Office Box 2301. Boulder, Colorado, 80306. Okay, lots of things going on out there, ladies and gentlemen, getting all kinds of news. Now, I don't have a crystal ball in front of me, so obviously it's not where I sit, it's not for me to say if all the things being reported are true. There's no way for me to fly over every ocean of the world and verify that all the naval ships are out at sea right now. I hear that that is true, could be true. If it is, that's quite interesting in light of some of the natural phenomenon that appears to be going on. But, you know, a lot of this stuff is diversionary, ladies and gentlemen. A lot of the stuff you're hearing about is to keep your attention away from some other events. Just like 911 conveniently took heat off of the current administration. Just like the Murrah building, Oklahoma City, coming down, supposedly by Timothy McVeigh, all took heat off of Mr. Clinton and his shenanigans in the White House. You know, we are being diverted away from where we need to be paying attention. We should begin to realize this is what's being done to us sooner or later. How many times do we have to see events happen in the news and around the world, only to find out years later we were duped yet once again? Why is it our nature, why is it in our nature to sit there in front of that idiot box on a nightly basis thinking, but this time it's true, but this time they're telling me the truth, and yet virtually every single major event with within my lifetime we've been lied to about. That's a half a century, ladies and gentlemen. I was born at the time when television was just beginning to show up in the average person's home, just beginning to show there. So in my lifetime, every single major event has been misreported and we have been lied to about. I can't think of a single one that wasn't some sort of a staged event to get you and me to think or believe something that was not true, to guide us into behavior that's not fitting of a Christian republic, to get us to believe things that we ought not. And here again, if we were true believers, if we truly loved the Father, if we read our Bibles, none of this would be happening. So we point the finger at many culprits in our society. We do so on this program quite frequently. The communist, antichrist, Zionist, Khazar Jews, for example. Are they a menace in this world? Absolutely. There is not a single scientist or researcher that is honest that cannot come to that conclusion. That is just an undeniable fact of life. They have been a menace to mankind since their appearance on this planet, and they continue to be so today. That is the reason that they were driven out of every European country at one time or another during the Middle Ages. It is not simply, quote, because they are Jews. It is because of what they do. So here again, we point out these people causing problems in our societies, but ultimately, the problem is you and me, ladies and gentlemen. Christ didn't say that his burden, his law, and his blessings, and his covenants were with everybody. He had a, quote, peculiar people. Interestingly, in the Greek language, that word is Celt. And the Celts were known in the Greek language as Keltoi. Keltoi. K-E-L-T-O-I. Keltoi in the plural. And that, of course, boils down to the word we have today of Celt, typically spelt with a C. But in the Greek language, there is no C. The K sound comes from Kappa, or K, Kappa, K. So the Celts, Celtic peoples, you and me and our ancestors, many of them were Celts, were the peculiar people of the Bible. Not these Khazars who are pretending to be his chosen. And while we're talking about that, but here again, we don't want to focus on the enemy. We don't want to focus on Christ's enemy. That's given him too much attention. Let's focus on ourselves. Because if you and I are doing what we should be doing, the enemy would not be allowed nor able to do what he does. Now, as far as these imposters in our society today, let's go to a couple quick verses. And for all you New Testament Christians out there, you can follow along because we're in the New Testament, because you've been brainwashed into thinking the Old Testament doesn't apply. So now you're going to have to pay attention because, in case you didn't know it, Revelation is in the New Testament. Chapter 2, verse 9, I know your hardships and your poverty, and though you are rich, the slander of the people who falsely claim to be Jews, or Jehudites would be proper here, but are really members of the synagogue of Satan. Isn't that amazing? I'd like somebody to email in or call in tonight and explain that verse to me. Explain that to me, all you apologists for these hideous people amongst us that commit all these crimes and are butchering the Palestinians over there on a daily basis, and yet we turned a blind eye to it because these liars behind pulpits continue to tell us that they're God's chosen people. What a blasphemous lie that is. I want you to call in and explain that verse to me. And then at the same time, let's jump a chapter later and go to 3. Chapter 3, verse 9, which states, look, I am going to make the synagogue of Satan, those who falsely claim to be Jews, but are liars, because they are no such thing. I will make them come and fall at your feet and recognize that I have loved you. Let's go to verse 10 here, because you have kept my commandment to persevere. I will keep you safe in the time of trial which is coming for the whole world, to put the people of the world to the test. How many times on this program have we talked about the fact your life here, ladies and gentlemen, is a test. It's a temporary period of time. You're here but for a flash in the pan. This is the test. Eternity is the goal. What you do here rings out in eternity. I love that line from the movie, the Gladiator. It's the Gladiator. What we do in this life echoes into eternity. So in a way, that's a biblical sentence that he spoke in that film. And that's what it's saying here elsewhere in Scripture. What you do here echoes through eternity, through judgment, the standing on the front of the Father, where you will be tested and found whether you are worthy of entering the kingdom. Now, those of you that say, well, Christ died and guaranteed me entrance, well, let's say that's true. But you know, there's a lot of verses in there that also say that your works are going to determine your rewards. If you don't know those verses are in there, you're definitely not reading your Bible. Your rewards are based upon your works. So if works isn't important, then what about all those verses talking about that? You Judeo-Christians out there, all you New Testament love people, I want to hear from you. You tell me. You call in here and you tell me what those verses mean then. Because I know differently. Works has always mattered, just like race has always mattered. To ignore it or to believe the lie that it doesn't matter because the propaganda say so makes you out to be a fool. Because common sense, science, history, and scripture all support the fact that race has always mattered, ladies and gentlemen. How can you be so silly as to think it doesn't? You have to turn off virtually every synapsis point in your brain to come to the conclusion that race doesn't matter. But then again, our society is full of simpletons today. They think they can invent a better way. You know, Scripture talks about simpletons like that. It says they believe their way is a way of righteousness, but it leads them unto death. They believe it that they have the right way to go, but it leads them to death. That's a paraphrase for it. But anyway, I was sent an email by a good friend, and this lady's doing a research paper, and she had mentioned that in Comparé's booklet, Your Heritage, which I'll give you the address where you can order this compilation of the writings of Bertrand Comparé, his lectures, and his wife. There's some of his wife, which is what we're going to read tonight. She, in her own right, was a good preparer of text. But I'm looking here for where I put the address. Oh, there it is. Okay. But anyway, I'll give it out after we read this. But this is entitled America's Christian Beginnings by Inez Comparé. And so this is for you folks out there that have bought the big lie that we are not a Christian nation. I think she does a good job of saying it quite differently. In a brief period of time, the United States, the mightiest nation in all of history, grew out of a handful of people in the wilderness. Our military might has held back the enormous hordes of Asia that seek to enslave the world under communism. Our wealth rebuilt the lands devastated by war, even the lands of our enemies. We have also fed half the world. What power could produce this miracle? Only the fact that America was created a Christian nation with Christian ideals. Just what is Americanism? Have you ever tried to define it? For our wisdom and for our survival, we should examine our principles. Where shall we find the definition of Americanism? Should we go to the minority groups who themselves say, we are different, separate, a minority, whose different ways of life and different ideals must be given separate recognition? Shall we accept this difference and incorporate it into our way of life? No, we should remain or maintain our religion, Christianity, culture, and way of life that has made us great. These minority groups have no understanding of or sympathy with Americanism. Should we listen to the brainwashed youth turned out by our schools who have had no experience of life, who know nothing but what their teachers tell them, these students can only parrot what they are told should be our way of life. The answer to this question is a resounding no. They know nothing about our way of life and what brought it about. For answers, we must ask those who made this miracle. Americanism is not a theory evolved by liberal professors in their attempt to remake the world in their own image. It's a way of life. It cannot be merely taught or theorized. It must be lived. No person can teach it or define it unless he has lived it. We must get our definition from those who made the American way of life. 3 centuries ago, a tiny handful of men and women faced life on a strange continent. They had no homes but what they could build with their own hands before winter came. They had scanty food, and they did not know yet what crops would thrive in this new climate. They faced the daily hazards of an inhospitable wilderness, peopled by cruel savages. They weren't supported by government subsidies. They received no wealth from the taxpayers of another nation. Yet, out of the wilderness, they started to build the greatest nation the world has ever seen. How did they do it? What were the tools they used? The answer to this will be the definition of Americanism. Let's let them tell it. America was founded by Christian people. So honest were they in their insistence upon pure Christianity that they left their comfortable homes, their farms, and their shops in the lands of their ancestors. They crossed a broad and dangerous ocean to build in the wilderness a new civilization dedicated to Christianity. In the Mayflower Compact, they wrote the purpose of their coming to the new world in these words: having undertaken for the glory of God and the advancement of the Christian faith and the honor of our king and country, a voyage to plant the first colony in the northern parts of Virginia. America was founded on Christianity. How did they build on that foundation? Consistent with their faith, they built a Christian government. For example, most of the 13 original colonies gave religious tests for public office. Let me stop there for a second. Wouldn't we be better off today if we still did that? Don't you think? You wonder why your country doesn't look like a Christian country anymore, ladies and gentlemen? Well, take a look at who's in charge. Duh! How do you expect those who are not of your race, not of your culture, and most certainly not of your religion, to uphold your culture? You know, in nature, stupidity doesn't survive. Nature, the laws of nature, are set up in such a way by our Heavenly Father that animals that become stupid become extinct. And I fear this future for the white race, because unlike millennia in our past, when we were the builders of the pyramid, the Great Wall of China, Hadrian's Wall, all the other wonders of the world were built by our ancestors. And yet today, we're turning out children that cannot read, write, or do arithmetic, who don't think that race matters. This is what we've become. We've become a people virtually on the edge of extinction. We are engrossed into a hideous fad of late of interracial dating and marrying. Ladies and gentlemen, the last group of people that I read about in my scripture that indulged in homosexuality and rampant race mixing was burnt to a crisp. It was known as Sodom and Gomorrah. Before that, a flood took them out in Noah's time. The point being that people who become so pompous and arrogant to think that they can do it better than our Heavenly Father get washed away with the rest of the trash and the dirt. And if you, ladies and gentlemen, are raising your children to think that that is okay to do, then you are setting us up for another judgment where we will be thrown into the trash heap of history where, honestly, we belong. Because because even in the days of my childhood, the average person in America understood these basic laws. So you have to ask yourself, what happened in the last 45 years to change all that? In a short generation, typically in the Bible, a generation is approximately 40 years. So within one generation's time, we have forgotten every fundamental principle that made us the great people that we were. We, today, are a shame to our ancestors. They may not have been perfect people, and the scripture tells us there have never been perfect people. There's only been one perfect man walked on this earth. That was Yahweh in a flesh body. All of us fall short. So our ancestors, you can look back and find a few culprits in there, and you can find a few mistakes we made, but by and large, our people were good people, doing great and wondrous things, inventing many, many wondrous things, instilling civilization wherever they went. But you will allow the modern media, within one generation's time, to convince you that our ancestors were heathens, reprobates, degenerates, when nothing could be further from the truth. And yet the same people telling you that are they themselves perverts, degenerates, and murderers. But they got a lot of money, and they control the media, and you can get away with a lot when you control those two things. Can't you, America? How many of you out there would turn a blind eye for a few handfuls of shekels in your pocket? How many of you would take a witness stand and lie against a neighbor for a few shekels? Or for freedom after you've been caught doing something wrong? Prosecutors are making a living off of that little fiasco today, getting people to lie on a witness stand to get a reduced sentence. And the thing of it is, these prosecutors know this is going on. In fact, they encourage it just so they can get a victory. You live in Babylon, America. You live in a Judaized Babylonian society where your Christian courts no longer exist. You're under the rule of man and man's law and man's arbitrary application of that law. You are in hell. Now, our Father says he can bring us out of that. We'll talk about that. But it's going to take some changing here. Now, let's get back into the article. Okay, now we had just said that most of the 13 colonies had religious tests. Here's a few quotes. Delaware. Delaware, by the Constitution of 1776, required every officeholder to make the following declaration. Quote, I do profess faith in God the Father and Jesus Christ, his Holy Son, and in the Holy Spirit, one God, blessed forever. And I do acknowledge the Holy Scriptures of the Old and New Testaments to be given by divine inspiration. Look at Delaware today. Massachusetts required a declaration that, quote, I believe the Christian religion and have a firm persuasion of its truth. Shame on you, Massachusetts, today. Maryland, by the Constitution of 1776, every person appointed to any office had to take an official oath of allegiance to the state and also to subscribe a declaration of belief in the Christian religion. I wonder if they realize that there's road stops in Maryland now where they check you for your socialistic, communistic paperwork while you're traveling down the road. New Jersey's followed suit, and New Jersey's next on our list here. New Jersey declared that no Protestant inhabitant of this country, of this colony, shall be denied the enjoyment of any civil right merely on account of his religious principles, but that all persons professing a belief in the faith of any Protestant sect who shall demean themselves peacefully under the government as hereby established shall be capable of being directed into any office of profit or trust or being a member of either branch of the legislature. Now, how about that? A belief in the faith of any Protestant sect. Vermont's constitution required every member of the House of Representatives to take this oath. I do believe in one God, the creator and governor of the universe, the rewarder of the good and punisher of the wicked. And I do acknowledge the scriptures of the one of the Old and New Testaments to be given by divine inspiration, and own and profess the Protestant religion. My goodness. Imagine that. North Carolina, by the Constitution of 1776, provided, quote, that no person who shall deny the being of God or the truth of the Protestant religion or the divine authority either of the Old or New Testament shall be capable of holding any office or place of trust or profit in the civil department of this state. Imagine that. South Carolina, by the Constitution of 1776, provided that no person should be eligible to the Senate or House of Representatives, quote, unless he be of the Protestant religion. Virginia denied public office to anyone who denied the Christian religion to be true or the Holy Scriptures of Old and New Testaments to be of divine authority. How's that for you folks out there that believe that we are secular humanists and that Christianity has nothing to do with this? How about you, Mr. Dershowitz? I'll tell you, you know, I read somewhere his nickname is Dirtbag Dershowitz. I'll tell you, Mr. Harvard Law Professor, you couldn't teach law if your life depended on it. What you teach is Babylonian BS. What you teach is Zionism. You teach the Pharisaical law of your ancestors when Christ walked this earth. How dare you hold yourself out to be a law professor? Why don't you tell the truth, Mr. Dershowitz? Why aren't you wearing a label identifying yourself as a Talmudist, as a Zionist, as an advocate of the Babylonian way of life, instead of pretending and letting the people believe that you teach law as it was in this land from the beginning? You teach law as you wish you and your compatriots wish it to be, not what it is. My ancestors founded this country, as this article is stating, based upon Holy Writ. And whether you or your countrymen like it or not, this is a Christian land. And the only thing our Father is waiting for is the Christians to wake up and understand that. And then, watch out, because you won't find rocks big enough, sir, to hide under. We have to take a station break, and then we'll be right back.
This is the Reality Radio Network on Telstar 5 Transponder 5 and on the Internet at realityradionetwork.com.
Hi, I'm Steve Quayle, and for over 10 years and thousands of hours of radio broadcasts, I've been warning and preparing individuals and families of the great perils that are now upon us by having interviews with some of the more interesting and controversial guests in the country. It benefits you to listen in to my previous radio broadcasts, which are available by subscription to archiveondemand.com or by calling Steve Melking at 260-356-2611. Time is running out. The information you may gain could mean the difference between life and death. So once again, call Steve Melching at 260-356-2611.
And now we're coming back to Pastor Dan.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. And again, tonight's program is Americans, Christian Beginnings, and we're reading from an article written by Inez Copperé, the wife of Bertrand Copperé, probably one of the best teachers of our message there ever was. To get a copy of this excellent book, well over 300 pages in length, 8.5 by 11 pages in a ring binder, a spiral binder, you can send $20, and that includes shipping. It is a bargain. $20, including the shipping, to Clifton Emmaheiser, E-M-A-H-I-S-E-R, at 1012, again, that's 1012 North Vine Street, Fostoria, Ohio, 44830. And again, the book is entitled Your Heritage, $20, and that includes postage. Also, the call-in number again is 260-356-2611. And again, that's 260-356-2611. I've only got a short ways to go through the article, and then it's pretty much open forum, ladies and gentlemen. So have a question or two prepared to either email in to steve@stevemelching.com. Again, that's steve@stevemelching.com or 260-356-2611. And then we'll be glad to talk about it. Continuing with the article, the first schools were founded to give Christian education to their children, so that all who might come to positions of leadership would be firmly grounded in Christianity. For example, King's College, which is now Columbia University, advertised, quote, "The chief thing that is aimed at in this college is to teach and engage the children to know God and Jesus Christ and to live with a perfect heart and a willing mind." Whoa, have our universities changed. Amherst, Dartmouth, and Yale were established for training in the Christian faith. For the first century, 40% of Yale's graduates became ministers of the gospel. My, how things have changed. Mr. Harvard, in founding Harvard University, said this, quote, "Let every student be plainly instructed and earnestly pressed to consider well the main end of his life and studies is to know God and Jesus Christ, which is eternal life, and therefore to lay Christ in the bottom as the only foundation of all sound knowledge and learning," end quote. That's Harvard University. That's where Mr. Dershowitz teaches, a Zionist, Antichrist, and he isn't the only one by far. Let me tell you that. They're in every university. And these are the leaven. Luke chapter 12 verse 1 says, "Beware the leaven of the Pharisees, for it is hypocrisy." Watch how these creatures operate, and you will see the definition of hypocrisy. Continuing in the article, Horace Mann, the father of the American public school system, declared, quote, "Moral education is a primal necessity of social existence. The grand result in practical morals can never be attained without religion, and no community will ever be religious without religious education. Had the board required me to exclude either the Bible or religious instruction from the schools, I certainly should have given them the earliest opportunity to appoint my successor," end quote. Meaning, he would have given up his job if they had told him that he had to leave out moral training while he was educating the students. And look at us today. I'm going to put out a challenge again, ladies and gentlemen. I've done this several times. I want somebody to email or call into this program and tell me what on God's green earth we're doing right today. Would somebody do me that favor? Because I can't find it. What on this earth are we doing properly today, according to God's law, common sense, and the laws of nature? What? What are we doing right? The things that started out right, as this article is talking about, are major universities, Yale, Harvard, etc., we're teaching morality. You know where that kind of thinking comes from? Go check out what the Druids were really all about in England. And through Europe, too. Go find out what they were really all about. Stop listening to this drivel coming out of Hollywood. The electronic media is the greatest bane of civilization ever invented. The Druids required 3 years of testing. You had to come before a committee 3 straight years and pass an entrance exam to become a Druidic priest. 3 years in a row, they tested you to see if you had what it took. And then you got to go to school for 30 years. 30 years. That means you're not getting out to be a teacher to tell anybody anything until you're probably around 50, or at least in your 40s. Think about that, ladies and gentlemen. We got pipsqueaks in Washington, D.C., almost half that age, trying to tell you and me how to live our lives. And yet the Druids made sure you didn't tell anybody anything until you became, quote, a man. And Greek in the Greek society, you weren't a man worthy of being listened to until you were 40 years old. You could be a young man at 20, which is biblically correct, but you weren't somebody worthy of listening to until you hit 40. There's a few exceptions to that, but that's mostly military men like Alexander the Great and everything else, but that's a little different story. We're talking about men who were considered wise and would be church or town fathers and judges. And look what we do today. Look what we do today. We've got children leading us. You know, the scripture says that in the latter days, our men, because after all, our men are supposed to be in charge, our men would be ruled over by women and children. Welcome to America and Canada 2004. Lorded over by women and children. Continuing in the article, by contrast today, many of our states prohibit the reading of the Bible in our public schools. What benefit can they hope to gain by being ashamed of their God? The following verse from Jeremiah 8:9 in the Farrar Fenton translation of the Bible seems to apply to them. Your educated cause shame. Just a second, folks. Okay, again. Your educated cause shame, terror, and disgrace. For they reject the word of the ever-living, and what can their education do for them? Today, the United States needs more men who realize that the independence of our nation was established by statesmen, not politicians. Statesmen, unashamed to acknowledge their dependence upon Yahweh. George Washington, in directing that Sunday church services be held for soldiers, said, to the distinguished character of patriot, it should be our highest glory to add the more distinguished character of Christian. Our nation was born in dangerous times and could not have survived them if not founded on Yahweh's truth. As a Christian nation, we became great. Our power never weakened until our faith was weakened. The road to survival is the same one we followed to greatness. As a Christian nation, we rose, and as a Christian nation, we shall stand forever. End of article. And again, the book is entitled Your Heritage, and it's full. Forget the number. Let me look here real quick. It's like 118 lessons. Most of them only 2 to 3 pages in length, so they're very short, easy to read and follow. Great education for only $20, postage paid.
Daniel?
So, and again, the phone line is open, 260-356-2611.
Daniel?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, I was kind of, hoping somebody'd call in so we could test the new phone system.
Oh, yes!
Be the first caller on the new system, but nobody's calling.
Ah, good point, Steve. That's right. Steve has taken it upon himself, as he usually does, even on his shoestring budget. He's purchased a brand new audio system there, a new board and interface. So we have a new phone system. Somebody call in and let's test it. Be the first caller on the new phone system here at realityradionetwork.com. 260-356-2611. Come on, ladies and gentlemen, at least give us a call for a test. Got to make sure the phone system works, don't we? But I know you're out there listening. I know some of you are a little bashful or think maybe that you don't have a good question, but, there is no such thing as a stupid question. So think about that, ladies and gentlemen. But anyway, I thought that would be a good article for today. I know a lot of other stuff going on in the news we could have talked about, but nothing seemed to be pressing on my mind that I should bring to you other than this message. We were a Christian nation. We did teach biblical principles even in our higher-lived schools of education, Harvard, Yale, etc. And now today we've turned our backs on our Heavenly Father. We can go to a verse here to substantiate what we just read, and we've said it many times, but never say this one too much. 2 Chronicles 7:14. You want to hear what's wrong, folks? What do you need to do? If my people who bear my name humble themselves, and pray and seek my presence. Now here's the tough one, ladies and gentlemen, and turn from their wicked ways. Then I will listen from heaven and forgive their sins, which is transgression of his law, and restore their land or country. How about that? There's the tough one. First of all, humbling ourselves today, that's nearly impossible. Everybody's so puffed up with their own egos, it's nearly impossible. Then pray. Well, first of all, you got to have belief to pray. You got to actually have faith. You got to have a belief that he's there and he's hearing your prayer. That leaves out a good bit of people in this country, in Canada. Seek my presence? Shoot. I'll guarantee you 85% of the people in this country don't even think one second about our Father on a daily basis. And then the kicker of all kickers, turn from their wicked ways. Now, he wants to see all four of those things, ladies and gentlemen, and most people in this country couldn't give them one of those four things. The turning from their wicked ways, no, they like it too much, Father. You're not going to get that one. But if we could somehow accomplish those four, here's the promise. I will listen from heaven. I will forgive your sins and restore your country. There it is, the formula for restoration. You notice there's nothing in there said about the mainstream churches being the answer. Nothing in there, certainly, about government being the answer. And there sure as heck isn't anything in there about a constitution going to save us or any political party. They have nothing to do with it. In fact, those things have a lot to do with our demise. The salvation of this land, of our people, the saving of it is in that verse, 2 Chronicles 7:14. Four simple little acts that he wants his people to do. And then he'll restore our country. First of all, he'll give you the leadership you want. He'll give you leaders that can lead you out of this, and he'll put it into the hearts of men to be soldiers. And these leaders and soldiers will start cleansing this land. They will start to mete out justice where injustice is today. They will round up the treasonous amongst us. They will round up the reprobates and the criminals and see that his justice is done. Reminds me of another psalm that is very appropriate for this. One of my old favorites is Psalm 149. Let's go there. Excuse me?
You have a caller.
Okay. Well, hold on. Let me turn something up here. Okay. Just barely heard you, Steve.
Okay.
Yeah, let's go with the caller.
Anton is already up.
Okay, Anton, can you hear me?
Yes, I can, Pastor Dan.
Okay, I can hear you pretty good. Very good. Sounds like the system's working, doesn't it?
Yes, it does.
What can we do for you tonight, Anton?
Yes, I'll call regarding your question on what we're doing right.
Uh-huh.
As a country, nationally, it doesn't seem like we're doing much right at all. But as a people, I see what is going right is the restoration movement that's happening amongst our people, which is represented through shows like this, through the through outside of the mainstream media, where we see this other media arising, where we see this other political and religious movement arising, which is going to bring our people back, not to return to the past, but to go on to the future, to follow after godly principles and follow after the law of God.
Absolutely, to build a kingdom.
Correct. And I believe that we see this coming to fruition from our study of the law of God, but then putting it into action in our own personal lives. So many people become students of the Word, but they never start living and experiencing the things that are represented there.
Exactly. Do you consider living according to his law a burden?
No, and that's what Christianity is. It's that we follow the law of God, we obey the law of God, and it's not grievously born. It's not grievous to us to do so, because it's our nature. The Bible says, he that's born of God sinneth not, because he cannot sin. So when you're following that spiritual birth that we have, when you're following after that, then you will go against sin. You will flee from sin and follow after God. If you draw nigh to God, God will draw nigh to you.
Absolutely.
Now, that doesn't mean that sin's not a possibility at all, but we know if we sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Christ Jesus.
That's right. That's exactly right.
And,
well, that's a good point. You're right. The things that are going good are within the community of believers, the remnant that are seeking Yahweh's face and a building of his kingdom under his kingship. And that's a good thing. But as a nation, I think you would agree, we're not doing anything right.
Right. All we see is sin, we see lies, we see deceit all around us in almost all areas, including the churches.
Right.
And I believe one of the biggest sins we have in the church is the abandoning of the law of God. Because if we say that the law of God is abolished, that means there is no sin, because sin is the transgression of the law.
Right.
We lead people, and I'm from the Pentecostal faith tradition, and amongst that tradition, one of the big things that are preached is that you should follow your own convictions, and you should decide for yourself what's right and what's wrong for your life. And I see how that's clearly humanistic and clearly against the law of God and against His teachings. There's a way that seemeth right unto man, but the end thereof is the way of death.
Absolutely.
One of my favorite passages, and I'll say this, and I'll let someone else have a chance to get on, is David said, "I esteem all thy precepts concerning all things to be right. Therefore I hate every false way."
Very good.
And that's just the way I feel. I hate the unrighteous things that are going on in our nation, but I love the law of God, and I love seeing it come to life in people, and in God's congregation.
Amen. But let me ask you a quick opinion here before you go off the air. We're getting a lot of information in about the different navies of the world putting most of their ships out to sea. Do you have any comment on that, or do you have any reports of that that are credible?
Well, I'm in the Norfolk area, which is home of the largest naval station, and I can tell you here most of the ships are out at sea, are gone, and you can it's easy to tell within the community, because it seems a lot of times that many of the highways, many of the stores are abandoned to a point, because you see many women with their children, but you don't see the man of the household because he's at sea, because a large number of the people in this community are in the Navy and are deployed overseas.
Interesting.
So it's I'm not sure what the actual numbers are, but you can definitely see it in practice. You can just see that there are many people who are gone, and many people I've trained with, many people that I've worked with as well, are over there in that sandbox, you know, doing what our president has told them to do.
Yeah.
And all we can do is support. I believe we should support our troops, but at the same time ask for realism and ask for the truth from our government.
Right. Wouldn't that be a nice change?
It would, Pastor Dan.
Well, thanks, Anton, for calling in.
All right. God bless you.
God bless, sir.
Yeah.
Yeah. Very good. So now we know the phone system works. Good job, Steve. All right, ladies and gentlemen, I'll tell you, a lot of things going on. Let me tell you real quick while we wait for another call. We went to a meeting of a fellowship of believers in northern Indiana this weekend. People are starting to come together, as Anton alluded to in his statement. Many people from many different walks of life are starting to figure out that the mainstream media is nothing but liars. The mainstream churches are nothing but liars. And Hollywood is an absolute perversion. And the government, especially in the District of Criminals, D.C., couldn't tell the truth if you put a gun to their heads. These guys are so used to lying and distorting, they wouldn't know the truth if it walked up and slapped them across the face. They are pathetic. And this cabal that Bush surrounds them with, this neoconservatives, is what, you know, I love how they give buzzwords and camouflage words to reprobates. Neoconservative. Why don't you just call them communist, Khazar, Zionist Jews? Because that's what they are, with an ulterior agenda. They're here to do what's best for Israel, ladies and gentlemen. Duh! They're Israelis! Just because you're so simple that you'll believe them when they say, "Oh, no, but I attend a Christian church," or, "No, I'm not that. I'm an American." You've got to be kidding me. When are you people going to wake up? And if you're in a church where they're teaching that that these hideous creatures are God's chosen people, you had better flee. Not just walk out. You had better flee before the wrath of Yahweh comes down on those buildings. Because that building is not his church. First of all, that word church is a made-up English word. In fact, the ancient word it comes from means circle. Typically, it means circles as used in pagan rituals. The word church in your Bible is put there in place of a Greek word, typically, ecclesia. And you know what that means, ladies and gentlemen? Guess what? Has nothing to do with the building at all. It means the called out ones. In fact, the Greek word says that its meaning was such that it meant as in shouting at the top of your lungs with a loud voice that you were called out, as somebody was yelling for you to come in for dinner when you were out in the pasture field. That kind of shouting. Our master is calling out his people. If he hasn't called you, you're not one of his children. You can go all day long to church. You can attend church 7 days a week, and you're still not part of the ecclesia. Does that hurt your feelings? Too bad. Truth hurts sometimes, doesn't it? But as our founding father says, I'd rather have it hurt and deal with truth than to have it soft and easy and deal with lies. It may hurt, but I can get over that. I can survive armed with the truth. And you race mixers out there, you people dating and marrying these other races, you are treading on thin ice. You had better rethink, which is the word repent. You had better rethink what you're doing. You people engaged in the profession of abortion, you'd better think real hard about what you're doing. Whether you're the doctor committing the murder, or whether you're the mother allowing the murder to be committed, or whether you're the nurse assisting in the murder. It's murder. When you stand before Yahweh, there will be no excuse any of you will give. So your judgment's coming, whether it's in this world or the next. And it may even come in both. Do you ever think about that? You reprobates out there, you hideous creatures that could break Yahweh's law daily and flaunt it. You don't even blush anymore, people. Scripture even said that would come true. The people sin and no longer blush. Welcome to Canada and the United States, 2004. Two egregious sins, and now we have a third one. Queers getting married. Three egregious sins, and we don't blush anymore. And the average American could care less. One day you're going to care, ladies and gentlemen. Again, either in the here and now or the hereafter. One day you're going to wish you stood up and paid attention. You're going to wish you paid closer attention to the Word and to the Holy Spirit speaking to your heart. Judgment comes to the house of Yahweh first. Then it's going around the world. Bear that in mind. Thanks for tuning in. Anton, thanks for calling in. Yahweh bless one and all. Yahweh bless all those who love him and are working for the kingdom. Protect us from our enemies and curse those who hate our Father. Hallelujah.